Welcome to What Matters in North Carolina. My name is Mark Shiver, and we are so glad that you are listening to the podcast today. We try to bring you the very best and most content-rich podcast in the state when it comes to public policy and politics and things that are going on in state government and also at the federal level that affect us right here in North Carolina. We'd like for you to spread the word. Encourage your friends and your family to listen to the program. You can invite them to go to freedomactionnetwork.com and listen to the show there. You can have it downloaded into your computer by the RSS feed, or encourage your friends and family to just have the show dropped into their phone or their computer from the iTunes or Google Play Store every single day. Again, we are doing our very best to bring you content that is full and rich and features folks like the Speaker of the North Carolina House of Representatives, Tim Moore, and Senator Phil Berger, the President Pro Tem of the Senate. We also have included and added to our list of regular guests many of the congressmen who represent our state in Washington. We have a whole raft, as Andy Griffith used to say, of members of the General Assembly who come on the show regularly, as well as the leading voices from the political science world, like Dr. Andy Taylor from NC State and Dr. Michael Bitzer from Catawba College, Dr. Susan Roberts from Davidson, and on it goes. We are doing our very best to make this your one-stop destination for what matters in North Carolina. So please spread the word. Encourage your friends and family and yourself to follow us on Twitter at WhatMattersNC. Like our Facebook page, facebook.com/WhatMattersNC. You can tweet at me at Mark Shiver. We'd love to engage with you in social media. So we don't take you for granted. We appreciate you listening. And as we approach the new year, keep this in mind. It is going to be more important than ever before to stay informed and in touch with the things that are going on in the General Assembly, with a Republican majority in the House and the Senate, a Democrat governor, and the dynamic there is going to be interesting, to say the least. So thank you very much for listening. We appreciate you, and we are so excited to bring you the very best of what matters in North Carolina. Joining us now on What Matters in North Carolina is Pat Millen, and he is the executive director of E2D, Eliminating the Digital Divide, and a very interesting organization with a cool story to tell. So, Pat, welcome to the program.
Thank you for having me.
Well, I was reading an article in the Charlotte Observer this morning, and the article said the growth in the ranks of the poverty or the poor spread to the suburbs, but inside of that article, there was a picture that is captioned a nonprofit group founded by a Charlotte Mecklenburg school family, Eliminate the Digital Divide, or E2D, has taken on its biggest project yet, handing out take-home laptops to 500 students. So I thought, well, this sounds pretty cool. And so I went to your website and checked it out, and I thought, well, I need to talk to you guys. So give us a history of your organization. What prompted you to get into the notion of distributing laptop computers to public school students?
Yeah, it's actually a great story. My daughter, who was then 12, this is about 4 years ago, came home from middle school one day and said, "Dad, I don't get it. Every single assignment we get at this middle school presumes that you have a computer at home to do it with. And I know that there are a lot of kids at this school that don't have access to a computer, can't afford a computer, so they can't do the work. And that just seems a little unfair to me. What can we do about it?" And it was that question right there that just kind of got us stuck on this notion that, wow, if there would be a way for us to work to help families get access to laptop computers and the internet so that they can do their schoolwork, that's only a win-win for everybody.
Well, that certainly is something that I've often wondered about, Pat, when you know, everything has been moving so quickly away from hard copy textbooks to laptops and tablets and iPads and all of that kind of stuff. There are kids that just quite simply can't afford that stuff.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And, you know, Charlotte's an interesting school district. Charlotte Mecklenburg Schools has 147,000 students. but as many as 54% live at or below the poverty line. And of course, you know, when you look at statistics like that, one of the things that I reflect upon is the fact that there aren't children living, you know, under the poverty line because of anything they did, you know? So it just seems like something that if the community can help ameliorate that by taking advantage of community assets that are just, they're right there, hiding in plain sight. You know, if you walk down to downtown Charlotte and you look up into the sky, there are 50,000 laptops that are going to be decommissioned out of those buildings over the next couple of years. And if we can get our hands on them and refurbish them, we can solve the digital divide for all Charlotte-Mecklenburg school students.
Now, is that something that you're working towards, is getting those types of laptops and refurbishing them?
Yeah, that's exactly our model, as a matter of fact. When we first started in Davidson, where we live, we went to our largest corporate neighbor, which happens to be the world headquarters of Lowe's, the home improvement store, which is about 3 miles away from where I sit. And we went to Lowe's and said, hey, is there anything you guys can do to help us? We're trying to get kids computers. And they came back and said, tell you what, we can give you 500 laptops a year. They'll be stripped out. There will be nothing on them whatsoever. So you'll have to figure out a way to get software for them, but they'll be in pretty good shape. And so we take in donations just like that from many companies. And then we work with Microsoft to get operating systems and Microsoft Office that the kids can use to write papers and spreadsheets and PowerPoints. And yeah, that's our basic model, is to get donated laptops and refurbish them.
Well, that's awesome to know that some of the corporate citizens, as it were, are helping to participate in what you do. So currently, and we're talking with Pat Millam, who's the executive director of E2D, which means eliminating the digital divide and helping school kids, public school kids, get laptop computers and such. Are you finding, or are you mainly just working in the Charlotte-Mecklenburg School District right now?
Yeah, so far that's where we have ventured, just because the need is so great. As of this week, we have provided laptop solutions for 2,060 families.
Wow, that's amazing.
It's great, isn't it? And what's really cool about it is that the average family, we have an impact of about 3.2 people per family. So that's over 6,500 people a day who get to use an E2D computer, which is really awesome because, you know, parents get to use them as well. But the need and the rest to solve it for the rest of CMS is probably between 22 and 24,000 additional households. And so for now, we are pledged to try to close that gap in this area. But at the same time, I speak to people all around the country on a weekly basis. I get calls from other places saying, hey, help us do our community needs assessment and our asset assessment, and maybe you can help us figure out how we can do it.
So as a nonprofit, I guess you have certain things that, you know, give you an opportunity to make appeals to corporate partners and that sort of thing. Have you found that there are other nonprofits that are doing anything similar to you guys here in North Carolina?
Yeah, I know of one spectacular one that we want to grow up and be when we get a little older, and that's one up in Durham called the Cramden Institute.
Okay.
The Cramden Institute's been doing what we're doing. They've just been doing it for 10 years longer, and their impact is more than 10,000 families. So they do a terrific job.
So in terms of, when I read this, I thought, initially I thought, wow, you guys are going out to Best Buy and just buying computers. And I knew that couldn't be the right, be the case. So getting the, who refurbishes them when you get them?
We do. So it's actually a really cool story. We started off with a retired volunteer Duke Energy computer engineer who was literally taking these computers from Lowe's and doing the new imaging of the software in his basement, in a computer lab in his basement.
Wow.
And we did that literally for 3 years. And then This past January, we opened up our first offices and a computer lab in Cornelius, North Carolina. And we are absolutely exploding out at the seams here. So we're really excited that beginning this January, we're going to be opening up a second facility in Charlotte. And what's really cool about it is the kids that actually do the work in terms of intake and the imaging are actually high school students.
Really?
Yeah. So, and what's important is we pay these kids. We pay them twice minimum wage. They basically make $15 an hour because what they're doing are 21st century technology jobs, and the need for absolute precision and accuracy and excellence is demanded, and they do a terrific job for us. They really do. What's really cool about what we're opening in January is we will be training exclusively E2D recipients to be the employees of this new computer lab. So think about that ecosystem. These were kids that would never have been able to afford a computer. They got an E2D computer. They've learned how to use their computer to the point where they can now actually work on hardware technology. They're making twice as much money as anyone in their family, and they're helping their community by getting computers out to kids.
Wow. So you're actually...
Isn't that awesome?
Yeah, it is. So you're actually using students to refurbish these things.
That's exactly crazy.
That's awesome. And I bet that everybody wants to work for you, huh?
Honestly, that's a really great point. We have a long list of people who have figured out what we're doing and how we're doing it. And yeah, making two times minimum wage as an 18-year-old kid is a pretty good deal.
Yeah. So I guess you said you're opening a second facility down there in the Charlotte-Mecklenburg area, but beyond that, what's next for you guys?
Mm-hmm. So I honestly think I don't think it would be an extraordinary thing for us in conjunction. Charlotte has a huge group of people working on digital inclusion. We have something called the Digital Steering Team, which is about 25 people that get together every other week to study these issues and to work on coming up with creative solutions. I think we'll have a full solution for Charlotte-Mecklenburg school students easily within the next 18 months. I just think we've got a lot of momentum going on. So where do we go from there? What I would like to do personally is more of this going out and helping other communities create models that are similar to what we do. The model that works in Davidson is different than the model that works in Charlotte or the model that works in Valley Cruces, North Carolina. But guess what? They have elements that are very similar, and it's just a matter of getting into communities and coming up with creative solutions. And there are solutions. We just got to find them.
Yeah, absolutely. It just takes people to kind of think outside the box sometimes. So you said you've given out 2,000 already?
2,060 as of today.
Wow. That's amazing. Yeah. So I think this is pretty cool. I'm really glad I stumbled across this article and that I was able to get you on our show because, you know, it's what matters in North Carolina. And we talk a lot of politics and policy, but we also like to find really cool stories of people who are actually out there in the community helping and doing a good job in helping others. And it sounds like you're doing just that. One quick question. I remember I used to work in the Senate a few years ago, and there was this big talk at that time about how the Mooresville School District was going digital, and they were providing all of their students with, you know, the digital technology themselves. But I guess when you're a large district like Charlotte-Mecklenburg, there's just no way for the school district itself to fund that sort of venture.
So that's a really good question. Mooresville, their fantastic superintendent at the time, just really walked into the perfect scenario. Apple wanted to do a huge pilot, and he was right in the right place at the right time and really made that thing happen. What I would tell you is a system the size of Charlotte the school system does have a lot to bring to bear. I mean, the Charlotte-Mecklenburg schools own 140,000 Google Chromebooks that they use at the schools.
Wow.
But the X factor is getting connectivity in the house. And that is a many, many layered quilt. You know, you've got, in some places you can get Google Fiber in Charlotte, in other places you cannot. In some places you can get Spectrum or AT&T. And so because those solutions are so distinct and variable, it's really hard for CMS to get the confidence to just press the button and say, yeah, send these computers home with the kids. Those are some of the solutions that we're trying to work with telecoms to say, hey, can we come up with a universal plan that's fair, where the families can come up with something to budget with and, you know, potentially with some community philanthropic subsidy, come up with something where we can assure that the kids have the access at home. And once that happens, I'm pretty sure Charlotte-Mecklenburg schools, they're going to let those computers go home.
Yeah. Do you, this is totally off topic, sort of. One thing that I've wondered about, and I guess other people have too, I mean, when you start giving kids this stuff to take home, what's to keep them from, you know, looking at things they shouldn't?
Well, there are some restrictors that you can put on computers, for sure. Mm-hmm. But, you know, to some extent, you are limited just in the same way you're limited. You know, parents have to limit access to things on television for kids. My kids have computers at home because they come from a family that can afford it, and I have to be just as vigilant as anyone else to make sure that my kids are using computers in responsible ways. So I do think it's a combination of education and vigilance, and of course the property belongs to the schools. The kids are going to bring the computers back and forth to school, and I would presume that teachers and counselors will be able to go on and check the computers and say, why are you spending so much time on this?
Yeah, exactly. And I guess as parents, you know, we always want somebody else to do our job, but that's another topic for another day.
Yeah, I mean, the one last thing that I would say is that we talk about the homework gap is sort of the buzz phrase right now, kids that can do the homework and kids that can't.
Yeah.
Kids that don't have computers at home, their school day ends at 3 o'clock when the bell rings, and then they're done. Kids that have computers at home might have another 7 hours of, you know, ability to be curious and inquire as to any information. They can also get on Netflix and listen to Pandora.
Exactly.
But honestly, to have that extra 7 hours a day, that's the real gap that we think that we can help, that will level up a lot of these kids into more successful outcomes.
Well, Pat, thank you for making time this today to talk about your organization and the great work that you're doing. The organization is called E2D, Eliminating the Digital Divide. And if any of our listeners would like to support your work, where should they go?
The easiest way is to go to our website, which is e-2-d.org, e-2-d.org. And there's a donate button there, and we are right in the midst right now of trying to finish off the year strong in donations. And a family that can give us $50 or $100 can transform a family's life forever.
All right. Well, I will encourage folks listening to the show to do just that. Thank you very much, sir, for your time.
Thank you.
And really, thanks for what you do. I know these kids and these families appreciate it, and you probably really don't have a full idea of the impact that you're having. So I think it's pretty cool.
Well, thank you so much. I really appreciate y'all's interest.
All right. Have a great day.
Take care. Bye-bye. Mm-hmm.
Bye-bye. Thank you for listening to What Matters in North Carolina. We appreciate that you have taken time out of your day or evening to listen, and we certainly don't take you for granted. We appreciate every single time that you download the show, that you listen. We appreciate you spreading the word. And one promise I can make to you as the host of this show, we will work harder and harder to continue to bring you the very best content of any podcast in the state when it comes to things that matter in North Carolina. Remember, you can follow us on Twitter at WhatMattersNC, or you can like our Facebook page, facebook.com/WhatMattersNC. I'd love to engage with you personally on social media at Mark Scheiber. Remember to tell your friends and family. They can go to freedomactionnetwork.com Find the show there or in the iTunes and Google Play stores. Until next time, my name is Mark Shiver. Thank you so much for listening to What Matters in North Carolina.